And as we get started here, there's one thing I do need to just point out to you and apologize for. At the end of service today, I won't be at the line. Laura and I have somewhere we have to go out of town today, so I have to hit the road here pretty quick after the service. I love you. Sorry I won't get to say hello to you or goodbye to you, depending on how you take the sermon. Just know that we love you and ask that you keep us in your prayers as we travel. John 13, starting at verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Let us give thanks for God's words. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your scripture. We thank you for just all that you bring to us in these truths. And so now we ask, Lord, is that you help us to open up our hearts and our minds to receive them. Help us, Lord, to understand. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So we're just before the Passover, and what this means for us is that it's about Jesus' time. It's another week or so, then he will be crucified. And that this is what we call and normally refer to as the Passion Week. That this is the last week that Jesus would spend in the world with us. And so then he will go and he will die on the cross and he'll be resurrected. He will accomplish the salvation of us. And so as he gets ready for this, though, notice that he has given his disciples, the apostles, these final lessons. He's given them these final things that they can hang on to. He wants them to serve in faithful servitude. He wants them to serve faithfully other people as well as him. But as he gives them this, then he teaches them how to do that. He doesn't just leave them hanging there. He doesn't just tell them, go out and do that. But rather, Jesus gives us an example here that we can see. Now understand that even as he gives us this example, if you're looking there with me in chapter 13, if you would look all the way over to chapter 18, you will see that this lesson that Jesus now gives is a very long lesson. We've broken this up for ourselves so we can kind of come through it in parts. But we should never lose the sense that this is just the beginning of something. That Jesus wants him to understand that more is going to happen. And as he gives them this something more, then he doesn't not only show them, but then he teaches them. He says to them these things. He tells them. And they come to this understanding that will guide and lead their lives after he's gone. That Jesus knows that he's preparing them. You see, as we look at our scripture then, we understand that Jesus knows what's happening. That he knows his time has come. He knows this is his hour. And he knows that he loves his people. And so that as he prepares them, that he's going to love them to the end. He will show them. He will teach them. That they will always look at him and receive something from him. And as we look at our scripture then and kind of review here, if you would, what we've just read, then they come to this evening meal and we get this commentary from John, and we can assume that John and Jesus spent some time together, that John would know this. And as they spent some time here now in this meal, and that evening meal comes, Jesus already knows that Judas has been prompted by Satan to go ahead and betray him. Jesus knows, or Jesus knows that God has given him the power and authority that he needs already, that he will have when he takes it with him to the cross, that he will submit himself to his death. And that is Jesus then sits there and he looks at his loved ones. Then this thing comes to him, this Holy Spirit moves him. And he gets up from his honored place at the meal that they would all sit around. And as he gets up from this honored place, he removes his outer clothing. And he keeps his underclothing on. Why would he do this? What's going on here? Well, he's getting ready to wash their feet. Now, as he gets ready to wash their feet, he takes a towel and he wraps it around his waist. He's going to use that to dry their feet as he washes them. And as he prepares himself to do this then, he gets himself ready. We see some of the things that really come out of his culture, that really come out of who he is and the man that he was when he walked in the world. And he walked as a Jew. And so as he is going to then wash these feet, he's going to do something so wonderful for them, so loving for them, that when he comes to them, he removes his outer clothes so they don't get soiled by what he is about to do, so that they won't get wet and they won't pick up the dirt. You see, for them, the feet were not only the dirtiest part of the body, but they were the most unholy part of the body because they were dirty. You know, that if you think about this for a while, or just even a minute, you don't have to go there long, but if you think about this, they walk in sandaled feet. And so they walk in these dirt roads and dirt paths, and where they walk then is where the animals also walk. And so as the animals also walk, they have a tendency to leave us things to remember them by. And so as they would all walk through this, then their feet would become very soiled. Because they had nothing covering them like we do today. If you look down at your feet, you'll see you have shoes. Now, maybe some of you ladies are wearing sandals. I guess maybe a few of you guys are probably wearing sandals too. But we try to cover our feet up. When it gets really cold, we'll cover them up all the way. And so then that way then we will, you know, we will protect our feet. But they didn't do that. They didn't have that. And so as they walked through this time and they got their feet dirty, of course they could take a bath and they would be bathed for the week or whatever it was they had did it for. But it's their feet that would continually get dirty. So what they would do then, since they considered it kind of really gross and disgusting to do this, what they would do is they would have servants who would come to them, and those servants would wash their feet. So as they're sitting at this table, rather sitting on the floor and kind of reclining there, their feet would stick out, and so the servant would come around and wash their feet. Why would they need to do that? Well, if you think about this, first off, sanitary-wise, you're sitting at the table length or table height. That's the same almost as you're just sitting on the floor. It is sitting on the floor. And so as you're sitting there, then your feet are almost the same level as your food. So if you don't think that that's gross or disgusting, the next time you have dinner at home, what I want you to do is I want you to take your shoes and socks off, and then I want you to put your feet up on the table. Now, you guys, what I want you to look for is your wife's reaction. For your ladies, I want you to ask your husband what he thought your reaction was. You see, so they had this idea that, you know, it was a very good idea, but they had this process of then having clean feet when you came to the table. They had this process then of showing that, you know, that you were coming into the reception of God's provision, that you were coming to sit at this wonderful holy time that you were with the Lord. And so they washed their feet. They also did this when they went into their temples. They cleaned themselves. They washed themselves up. That they were always dealing with dirt, and because they saw it as a reflection then of being dirty by the world. And so now then, as Jesus comes to do this, Master, our Lord, our King, that as he comes to this table then, and then they're all sitting around, Jesus is the one who stands up. And he's the one that takes off his outer garment. And he's the one that wraps a towel around him. He's going to wash their feet. He's going to humble himself in the presence of those that he is a master over. And so he has to kneel down next to them. He has to get down on his knees and wash them as well. And as he cleanses them and then he dries them with this towel, and he goes through a few of them, he comes to Peter. And as he comes to Peter, you know, Peter looks at him because, you know, because Peter's, this is his Lord. Now, certainly he may not quite understand what Messiah is, but he understands Messiah. And so he understands that Jesus is somehow or other special. There's something important about this man. There's something godly about this man. And Peter actually believes in his heart. Now, even though he can't ever really show it in his actions, he believes it in his heart. I will follow this man wherever he goes. And so this man is sitting there or coming there, and he kneels then down to wash Peter's feet. And Peter asks him this question. It's not really a question of rebellion. It really is a question of amazement. It's a shock. Are you, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Now, duh, you know, Peter, he's already done that to others, and so now he's coming to you. Guess what he's going to do? But the reason that Peter asks it is because he doesn't think he's worthy of it. You remember John the Baptist, that when he pointed out Jesus, that he specifically said that this is the man that I am not worthy. At one time he says, not worthy to carry his sandals. And another time he says, I'm not worthy to even untie them. I am so unworthy of what this man is that I can't even stoop down so low to be by his feet. And so Peter then sees the same thing. He sees his master coming around. He sees the Lord coming around. The Lord wants to wash his feet. And Peter is saying, are you going to do that? And of course, you know, Jesus, always the teacher, Jesus, always the master. Then he reminds him, he said, you know, if you would understand what I'm going to do when the time comes, but if you understood this, you would want this. No, never, never. You will never wash my feet. You're my Lord. You're my master. I would never let you do that. And he says, Peter, but if you don't do this, you can be and have no part of me. He lays out the condition for it. There's a purpose in this. There's a reason that he's doing this. There's an understanding here, Peter. Do you understand, Peter, what's going on? And so as he gets ready to do it, and Peter's telling him, no, not you. Maybe one of them, but not you. Jesus tells him, he says, you need this. You need this. You need to have this so that you can be part of me. And of course, you know, Peter, he has that response. He has that response that we all have, right? He says, you know, so now Jesus is trying to wash his feet and Peter is starting to get it. He's starting to understand, you know, you can't have a part of me if you don't let me do this. Well, in that case, then give it all to me. Not only my feet, but my hands, my head. Wash my whole body. Scrub me, Jesus, clean. Clean me, Jesus, so I can sit at the table with you and I can commune with you, Jesus. Sit at the table. Let me sit at the table, Jesus, and be clean so that I can honor God with you. That I can worship God with you. So Jesus, you know, settle down, Peter, settle down. This is what's going on, Peter, settle down. If you have been cleaned by me, if you've been cleansed by me, if your whole body has been washed, you only need to, once in a while when you sit down the meal, wash your feet because then your body is clean. It has been cleansed. So out of our culture, out of what we do here, when you sit and I wash your feet, you don't need to wash your whole body, Peter. But notice that Jesus interjects that, you know, that if you have been washed, that if you've been cleansed, if we think about this as just before the Passover, that something's going to happen very miraculous, very marvelous, very fantastic to us all, even when we weren't born during that time, even when we weren't there during that time, that this miraculous thing that's going to take place is that we are going to all be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are all going to be cleansed, our whole bodies. And that then once in a while, when we commune with our Lord, all we have to have done is to have our feet washed. To have our feet cleansed. Because we can't ever really walk in life and not get dirty, at least not get our feet dirty. But so Jesus reminds him, and he says that this is what it is, and this is how we do this and why we do this. You know, and he says, you know, if your body's clean, don't worry about it, Peter. All you need is your feet clean. Now, Peter really doesn't understand yet what's going to happen. He doesn't understand the bath, the real bath, the holy bath, the spiritual bath that's about to come. But he does understand that he trusts Jesus, and he does understand that he follows Jesus. And Jesus says to them, he says, but not all of you are clean. And John gives us a commentary on this. John wants us to understand. John says that, you know, well, what he meant by that is because he knew that Judas was not clean, that Judas was about to betray him. And that he knew then that he was the one who who is not clean. Now, none of them know that yet. It's later when Jesus explains things to them and talks to them. You know, I think sometimes we assume that because what we have here, that's the only things that Jesus ever said. But John will help us out to understand later that that's not how it went. What he put in his book was the things that we needed to have. There were times that they spent with each other. There were other things that happened, but they all relate down into this. And so you can imagine then as they go spend time together that they have conversations, that they have more questions. They want to know, Jesus, tell us, what does that mean? Why do you do that, Jesus? Why all of a sudden that you, the master, we treat you like the master and our teacher, that all of this takes place, and all of a sudden, then you do something that's backwards to the whole world. How come, Jesus, that when you do this, you always have to do something that's just a little bit edgy? Why do you have to always be confrontational, Jesus? This is how we normally do it. We have people for that, Jesus. We may not have nothing. We're just fishermen. One of us is a tax collector, and you know, some of us, you know, we just don't do anything. But yet here we sit at your table, and then instead of letting the servants come in or the women come in and do it. Okay, good. Like, man, these days you're going to yell about that one. My notes say duck. But when they have them do that, and you know, they have an expectation, but Jesus breaks it. Once again, he turns it upside down. Once again, this is not how we do this, Jesus. How can we help you, Jesus, to understand how this all takes place? So this is what Jesus does in our verse 12. He says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. His place. His place of honor. The place where the master sits. The place where the Lord of Lords, King of Kings sits at the table. And he sits down. And he asks them this very crucial question to our faith. He asks them this question that will either make us or break us in what we do in the world as those who are saved by Jesus Christ. This is the question that he asked. Do you understand what I have done for you? Do you understand? He's asking them. He's asking them. And when we read this, guess who he's asking? Us. Or in this case, since I'm the one who was reading it, he's asking me. But as he opens this up, as he does all this, he turns the world upside down yet again. He says, do you understand? Do you understand what this is? Do you understand what this means? Do you understand what I'm doing for you? Do you understand? Now, so they got to think about it. That means they get on the old thinking cap. And they say, well, let's think about this a little bit. But Jesus doesn't wait for their answer, does he? He presses on. He says, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. Awesome, great. Now what you're asking me to do, Jesus, is that you want me to go out and you want me to wash everybody else's feet. There's a reason why we do it this way, Jesus. It's so that we don't have to. All right, we have servants. We have people in our house who will come and they will wash our feet. So Jesus, what do you mean that you want me to wash everybody else's? Jesus, that's a little bit lower than I am. I mean, I know I'm not really anybody. I know that. I got that. I'm a nobody. Especially Simon Peter. He's a fisherman. He's a businessman, maybe. Small businessman. But he knows. And so he's being shocked by all this. And then Jesus comes in and he says, you know, you're going to wash everybody else's feet. We say, well, I don't know, Jesus. How is this all supposed to come about? Why would you turn the world upside down so that I have to go out and I have to wash other people's feet? That's gross. I'm not washing your feet. I'm not washing anything else. You're big people. You can wash yourselves. But Jesus doesn't have that in mind, really. I mean, I know that in some churches we still practice that. We still practice the washing of the feet. And quite honestly, you know, frankly, it wouldn't hurt us any at all. But right away, we get locked into, is this a commandment that we're supposed to do this now in our church? But rather, what it is that Jesus is teaching us something here. He's saying, are you, then you apostles, you disciples, those who know me, are you willing to serve others the way that I served you? You see, because as they are trying to understand, they still don't have the picture that we have, and that picture is a man on a cross who is dead for our sins. A man who dies and sheds his blood so that then when we die, we live forever. And so they're still waiting on that peace. They still don't have that, but we have no excuse. We have that peace. And so now as we look at this lesson here that he gives us, and he says that, you know, that this is what you're going to do, we have to understand it through the sight and the view of the cross. What does this mean? What does this mean? Well, Jesus is about to do something for them. He's about to wash their bodies so that all they will ever have to do in the future then is wash their feet. In other words, he is going to die for your sins. He dies for their sins so that then all they have to do is keep the battle against sin all along. We call that sanctification, a cleansing, that God continues to cleanse us. He continues to wash our feet as we walk as people who have clean bodies. But now as they are listening to this and we're listening to this, you know, we have a tendency to get locked up in the idea that he's saying we got to go out and wash each other's feet. That's gross. We're not going to do it. Sorry. But that is never what Jesus really looked for. Jesus created a ritual in the church. And we find later in the book of Acts that there is no place or mention of washing feet. There is tithe. There is communion. But there is no washing feet. Now he's saying you can't do it. He's just saying he's not requiring it of his church. But as he does that, we have to understand him. What is it he wants us to understand? In Mark chapter 10, verses 42 to 45, two of his apostles, James and John, have come to him, and they want to know, which one of us is going to get to sit at your right hand? In other words, which one of us is going to be in the power seat with you, Jesus? And so that Jesus calls them all together. He doesn't give them an answer. He calls them all together, and he says, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus is saying, if I'm going to do it for you, and I am God, Son of God, if I am man in the world, and I come in here to save you by dying for you, you can do this for others. You see, he wants them to be humble, certainly, but he wants them to serve each other in love. He wants them to understand that you do these things of service not because you're checking off boxes, but because you love one another. He's bringing the heart into this, isn't he? He's bringing to the heart of this, of washing feet and doing all these odd things that just shakes them up. He shakes them loose. And when he shakes them loose, their heart comes open and Jesus inserts something in there. He inserts himself. He says, this is the lesson that I have for you. This is what you need to know. This is not below you if it's not below your master. Now, he goes on to say that he wants us to not only understand this, but he wants us to know that, he says in verse 15, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. If I did this for you, you're going to do it for others. All right? So you know, it should be pretty scary by now if we're thinking about this in the long term. So in other words, Jesus is about to die for them. He's going to die on the cross for them. So he's saying that if I do this for you, you should be able to do this for others. All right? So do you get the connection? You know, he's bumped it up. He bumped it up from just washing feet to now they're going to die for others. So in other words, are you saying, Jesus, that we have to die for one another? And Jesus says, whatever I do for you, you should be able to do for them. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. He wants them to know that I don't surrender nothing from this. My authority is still there because I serve you as those who would wash your feet, that I would stoop down to do the dirty work for you so that you could be clean, that if I do this, I do not surrender my authority. You see, because what's going to happen is the day after the cross, they're going to think they have lost. They're going to think it's all over. all of the stuff and all the crazy things that Jesus did. And in one night, they put him on the cross and he dies and it's done. They think that it's done and it's over. They think that we won't see Jesus anymore, that we're done. We're a defunct religion now. But Jesus says, don't ever think that. Don't ever believe that because I washed your feet, that I'm anything less than your master, that I'm anything less than your Lord and your teacher. Don't think that I'm ever anything less than the one who created you and died for you. We say, well, what do we do with that? How does that help us? Do we have to die for each other? Do we have to wash each other's feet? What do we got to do to follow Jesus' example? Well, this is what he wants, loved ones. He wants you to be committed to him. Later on, the Apostle Paul, who would come later into the apostleship than the others, but he was apostle nonetheless. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, he wrote to the church, he said, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Place them above yourself. Place their interests over yours. Place yourself in a humble position in front of them. Help them in a way that love shows help. You see, there's a thing that we're still dealing with here. We've been dealing with it since chapter 3 and verse 16, that God so loved the world, that God sent his loved one into the world. Well, what does that mean, he loved the world? Does that mean that he loves us all so we all go, or what does that mean? Well, then he tells us, he says, this is how love shows itself. This is what I do. I put myself lower than you so that way that you will be clean. I place myself lower than you so they will put me on that cross so that you won't have to die for your sins, but rather so that I will pay that price. Loved ones, as Jesus opens up all of this, as he brings us to this moment and he gives us this example of himself, he becomes the act. He says, this is the example, and then he lives it out. Yes, there's a lot of knowledge in there. There's a lot of brain talk in there. There's a lot of stuff we have to think about. But what Jesus did in the very end is he died on the cross. He didn't say anything anymore. What he did was he just went to the cross as a silent lamb and he died for us. He was the sacrifice for our sins. He was the final sacrifice so that we would never have to try to pay it, because you can't. Jesus, Son of God, wants you to know that he would wash your feet, that he loves you so much, that he would come to you and he would bless you, that he would come to you and he would praise you, that he would come to you and he would honor you at his supper in his house, where there are many rooms waiting for us. He wants you to be committed to this. He wants you to take this with the seriousness that comes, that when you stand there and you're ready to walk on your path to your cross, that when you're ready to die in his name and for his sake, that when you're ready to do all of these things in his name, he says, be committed. Just give all of your heart to it. Love each other, love each other, love each other, and love me with all that you are. Is that so much to ask? Is that so much to ask, that Jesus would love us like that, that he would die for us? And we kind of get up there and we fold our arms and we say, I don't know about that. I don't know. That seems a little harsh. But in verse 17, Jesus says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed. If what? If what? If you do them. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you. And I'm the prime example of that. Believing in Jesus Christ is not easy. It's hard work. Because you got to give up so much. You have to turn around and give away so much. You have to tell the old man or old woman that you were. That really came out bad. I was telling my class this morning that sometimes you get up there and you just say stupid things and there's no getting them back. I'm going to be in the car with my wife for the next 3 or 4 hours. But I'm going to pretend to be asleep. Too late, Jeff. Thanks. Was that Jeff? Yeah, thanks, but that's too late. So anyway, so the former woman and the old man. So what we were, Jesus brings us from that. and he makes us new again. He cleans us in his blood. He cleans us in his sacrifice. He continues to clean us because we still have sins that we walk around with. But because of this, of what the sacrifice was that Jesus gave to us. Now you see, now I want you to look at those words really hard, and I want you to look at them really hard, and I want you to see in there one time, do you see the word cross? Do you see the word blood? Do you see the word sacrifice? Do you see the word that says that Jesus loves you? Oh, okay, yeah, you know what? It does. It says he loved them to the end. He says that. Okay, but as we look at these things and we find them in there, we can't know them unless we have the cross. And that's why Jesus says to them, do you understand? Because you see, when he asks, do you understand? Because when you say, yes, Jesus, I get it. I get it now, Jesus. I don't know how it works, but I get it. Then you give yourself to Jesus Christ. You stand in him, and you continue to walk in him. If you don't know Jesus, and he's saying these things to you, and you hear it, but you're not sure, you just wait for him to ask you, do you understand? And you just tell him, I don't understand, but I'm with you, Jesus. I got it. I will follow you no matter where you take me. I am committed to you, Jesus. And then he cleans you. And then he stoops down and he washes your feet. And then he asks you, do you understand? Do you? Do you, loved ones? Father, I just thank you so much for all that you do for us. I thank you, Lord, that you continue to bless us in your presence. I thank you for this day, Lord, and for this service. I thank you, Father, that you brought your loved ones here to look upon your face. For we know, Lord, that loving you is easy. But living out your love in our lives, that's where it gets difficult. So we thank you that you walk with us in the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that you continue to be with us through all of our struggles, that you continue to wash our feet. And so what we would ask, Lord, is that at some point in our time, in our life here in the world, that you would give us a chance to be like Mary, that we would break a pure jar of nard and wash your feet and bring you honor and praises. And for that, Lord, we are eternally grateful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.